You are listening to From Embers, a weekly show on CFRC 101.9 FM about anarchist and anti-authoritarian ideas and practice. We are broadcasting from the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples on land that has come to be called Kingston, Ontario, Canada, because of the thievery and brutality of the Canadian state and its empire-loving parents. From Embers is about fires, some real and some metaphorical. Fires started generations ago and tended to over the years. Little sparks all across this territory that we hope will grow, spread, and engulf the thieving state called Canada and the capitalist system that has plagued this land since the fur trade.
On today's episode of From Embers, we'll be talking about pride. Pride is a lot of different things to a lot of different people. It's a fun street party for LGBTQ folks and can be a space to live our queer sexualities openly and publicly without fear. Or with less fear, anyway. It's also a sanitized carnival celebrating the liberal state and its military imperialism, as well as a corporate celebration of the profit they extract from queer and trans folks, as well as Indigenous lands and communities. First up today, we'll hear a conversation with Kaylee about going to Pride here in Kingston as a protest with the message that the police and the military have nothing to do with queer liberation and aren't welcome at Pride. In the second half of the show, we'll hear an interview with two folks from Hamilton, Ontario, where religious bigots and far-right yellow vest folks showed up to spread homophobic messages and queer bash folks at Pride, and also the many different ways that people stood up to them and ultimately made them leave. That's enough for me. Here's the interview.
My name is Kaylee. I use they, them pronouns. I was a participant in a small protest that happened at Kingston Pride this weekend.
Do you want to describe what that protest looked like or what people came together to do?
Yeah. So there was a small group of us at the parade, but there was lots of people who were in support of our protest. So there was five of us that we just kind of went around leafleting people, and the pamphlets had information about, why it's problematic to support the military and police presence in Pride, and some of the issues that are facing the queer community, not just in Kingston, but throughout Turtle Island. And why it's important to focus on the social issues that are affecting the most marginalized in our community, as opposed to supporting people with lots of resources and lots of power who are working in institutions that still oppress us and others. So, yeah, so there was five of us that kind of were leafleting. There were a couple of other folks. Well, yeah, there were several other folks that marched in the parade with signs that kind of shared their opposition to the military and police being there, and just kind of talked about refocusing the conversation on opposing oppression and homo-nationalism. And there were lots of people who didn't feel comfortable coming out or were working, or had left because they were not invested in Kingston Pride as an event. So we had lots of support, but there was a small contingent of us. And yeah, we just kind of were talking to people who were supportive, lots of youth, lots of people who, are associated with Queens or the left or, working class folks and youth, queer and trans youth. And yeah, and then we also talked to a lot of people who were upset that we were there. And yeah, as is the nature of this debate.
What were some of your personal reasons for participating, or why did you feel like this was an important protest to participate in?
Yeah, so this year on the 50th anniversary of Stonewall, Kingston Pride chose to make the Grand Marshal of the parade, which is kind of somebody who's in spirit is supposed to really represent the spirit of pride, the resistance of pride against oppression. And they chose that person to be a Rear Admiral Commander in the Canadian Armed Forces. And I just thought that was incredibly disrespectful to the history of Pride and the contemporary reality of the military being a really oppressive force. And the Canadian military, like, people are like, oh, well, it's not the U.S. Yeah, we don't have the same level of invasion and imperialism, but that is definitely a part of our legacy and reality. And a lot of the missions that we have overseas and domestically are about stealing land and resources from Indigenous peoples and or humanitarian efforts, but they're militarized. So we go in with a lot of artillery and ground invasion type support. So yeah, I think that, like, the military is not something, it's not really worth celebrating the fact that queer and trans people, or LGB people, really, like, are able to commit those atrocities. I think we should stand in opposition to those atrocities and stand in solidarity with people who are experiencing that violence. And of course, because the Grand Marshal was commander in the Canadian Armed Forces, there was a flagrant display of militarism at the parade. Lots of folks in uniform. There was an armored vehicle, a truck that drove in the parade. We knew that was going to happen. I think that is triggering for people, and especially creates a really unsafe environment for a lot of LGBTQ2SIA pause folks that are, like, refugees from other countries. And Kingston has made a relatively good effort at bringing a lot of refugees, many of which are queer, to Kingston. And to show that the military is more important than the respect of their trauma and what they've survived is just really, it's really disrespectful and should be opposed. So that was a lot of my motivation for going, was just, like, as a queer person, it's my responsibility to stand in solidarity with people who are marginalized. And I just felt that we should really speak up against that. And I can't speak to other people's motivations for participating, but that was really important for me. Do you want to speak about your motivations?
Sure. Yeah. I wanted to be a presence to sort of not let the kind of celebration go unchallenged or unopposed. Even though in the newspaper, I believe Pride, someone, a representative from Pride, said that it was wonderful that there was no politics and that the celebration happened unopposed, which was funny. But yeah, I wasn't expecting to really change a lot of people's minds if they were coming from a really different place than I was. But for people who also feel pretty disgusted and angry about the usual nationalist pride circus, just to be like, yeah, some other people also think that and are feeling that, and there's a different... That's not the only way to be queer or trans or, yeah. I guess that's why I wanted to go.
Mm-hmm. And I think it was nice for me, seeing the youth, like, that were so, like, with their signs, like, make this shit a riot, you know? Like, yeah. That was really awesome to see and to, like, I think show kind of an intergenerational support, being like, yeah, we see you. We're here, you know. We're opposing this shit too, you know. I think that was really cool.
For some of our listeners who might not be familiar, do you want to maybe describe a bit of the context of Kingston Pride, or what that event, I guess, has looked like, or looked like this year even?
Mm-hmm. I will try. I've only been in Kingston for a little over 5 years, so that's my point of reference. My understanding is that it's really focused, like, its origins were about like really building community and making sure that there was support for queer and trans people. I think mostly probably when it started, like LGBT folks, had its roots in kind of coming out of like Skeleton Park neighborhood and kind of like leftist communities around that area. And I think since it's like it's kind of changed to be have like more corporate relationships, really focus on a lot of parties, you know, there's, yeah, that, and that's kind of my experience with Pride, is that like it's about like partying and getting drunk, and those are things that's not where I find my queer community. And I know a lot of people in Kingston also don't relate to that, that it's either political or it's about, you know, things that are a little bit more complicated, like sexuality and consent and gender identity and navigating these things. And oppression, you know, having a space free of oppression. But yeah, I think Kingston Pride in the last 5 years has changed a lot. Like, I think there was a couple of people who got involved in the planning committee that really wanted to bring it back to its roots and make it a more community-oriented event. And this year, it's their motto is Pride is for everybody, which I respectfully disagree. Like, Pride is for LGBTQ2SIA pause folks, and not necessarily like a place where straight allies can like fetishize us, I guess. So yeah, the parade this year was huge. Like, it was huge, and I don't know how many people identified with, you know, with queer politics or queer, just being queer in general, but you know, they've really tried to expand to a lot of diverse identities, note the air quotations. And so there was representation from the Conservative Party and the People's Party of Canada, which is, they call themselves libertarians, but they are like basically extremely racist, extremely xenophobic. To my knowledge, like Andrew or Maxime Bernier is their party leader, and he was too radical and too conservative for the Conservatives, so left and started his own party. And to my knowledge, are not queer and trans family in any way, shape, or form. And even if they are positing that, then they should not have been welcome in that parade. So yeah, I think the Pride is for everybody thing, like love is love, is where Pride is at right now. And I just think I think it's a mistake for Pride to go in that direction. And it's exclusive to a lot of, like, it excludes a lot of marginalized queer and trans people, Indigenous people, refugees, homeless youth, trans people. So yeah, I don't know if that quite answers the question, but
I guess one of us should tell the story of the People's Party materials being taken from their table, which I thought was great. I mean, I guess that's the whole story, is that people in the crowd did that and then got rid of them, I guess. I thought that was great, because I thought that, you know, helped prevent them from spreading their hateful white supremacist message to the crowd. And also, I think they got heckled a lot too and like yelled at, and that I think was also positive, like, to not just like continue with everyone else pretending like this is fine, there's nothing wrong with this, this is totally normal, these like
far-right white supremacists are marching in a pride parade. Nothing to see here. Like,
totally, no, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was really great, too. Yeah, good call on people taking action.
How did some of those conversations with people go, or what kind of reactions did you experience? And yeah, what was that like?
Yeah, I think a lot of people were really supportive, which was really great. Like, I think, especially, like, I work with youth, so I, like, was more attuned to the youth. But, yeah, a lot of youth, like, really brightened up when we offered them some materials and some signs. And they were, I think they felt, like, a little bit more like, oh, there's, like, it's not just me, you know? Which is kind of how I, you know, would have liked to feel. That's like, yeah. And lots of people said thank you. Like, so many people were super grateful that we were there and raising awareness and like in opposition. And then there were obviously a lot of people who were pretty upset. So I think like one conversation that I had was with somebody that I know, and she, like, you know, from our interactions in the service industry, I guess, an older lesbian, and she was, and we've talked about queer politics before, and she was saying, you know, like, I think it's really important that the police and military are here, because I don't want to go back to a time when they were killing us in the streets. And she's like, the military is like actually really good employer for a lot of queer people, or like for us lesbians was the word that she said. And she was like, I don't know why you want to take us backwards. And if you stand with Black Lives Matter, then I want no part of this, and kind of threw the pamphlet back in my face. And I was like, yeah, I obviously stand with Black Lives Matter. Like, I think Black Lives Matter. So I think that was illuminating for me, because I think that there is such an intergenerational gap, but it's also around like race and class, and you know, like the Kingston has a lot of corrections officers, and I talked to a couple of corrections officers as well, and this one woman, she was like, you know, she listened, like she was like, you know what? She was like, oh, sweetheart, you know, like, I'm a military brat. I grew up in the military. Like, I'm very pro. I'm really glad that they're here. She's like, you're not going to convince me. And she's like, and I'm a corrections officer. And, you know, I think, you know, she's like, she was saying that it's really important for women, especially lesbians, to be in male-dominated environments so that they can change things from the inside. And yeah, I mean, like, it's hilarious. So I had a similar reaction. I was like, ha, 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 okay. But I was like, well, take it, please, like, hear and consider our opinion or whatever. Those were a couple of the conversations that I had. And then I also had a conversation with a representative from Kingston Pride. And we kind of talked about that. Yeah, I just kind of made the same point that I've talked about already, but that by standing with the military and the police and creating space for them, you are making, you're saying, having a very clear message that the most marginalized in our communities, their lives, their trauma, their survivorship does not matter at all. And you stand with their oppressors. And I think this person was quite receptive to that and is, you know, open to a conversation about what they can do to address these very serious issues. What about you? Do you want to talk about any of the conversations that you had with people?
I mean, there was a funny moment when some folks from the Conservative Party came up and tried to give me literature about their candidate, which I declined, but gave them some flyers instead, which was
that's great
funny.
It's great.
I hope they read them. I don't know. I feel like people were either curious and or supportive, or just like pretty hostile or indifferent, kind of like they did not want to engage with the things people were saying or the messages that we were bringing. So that's fine. I understand that lots of the things that people were saying, like being against the police or Canada or the military, are things that are fairly offensive to lots of people who really deeply yeah. identify with and believe in those things.
Totally.
So that... Yeah, I didn't get into any long, like, conversations or debates or anything, because I feel like people already had a side of that line that they were standing on, and also seemed kind of mad that we were even, like, bringing it up in that context, which I feel great about, so that's fine.
Ditto, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool. Yeah, I felt like people were either, for me, like, I feel like I didn't, more than any other action that I've, like, educational protest kind of thing that I've participated in, people are usually like, oh, like, tell me more. But for me, I found that people were either, they were super supportive, or they were like, literally, fuck you, which was very interesting. I was like, yes, our community is extremely divided. On this issue,
yeah.
Especially in Kingston, military, prison, police heavy town.
Was there anything that I haven't asked you about that you wanted to mention? Or
yeah, I don't know. I guess, like, no. I guess, yeah. I'm like hopeful about the future, but I don't want to talk about that because I don't want to jinx anything.
Thanks so much for talking to me.
Thank you. Thanks. I feel like I treated it more like an interview instead of a conversation, which I regret a little bit. So
were there any things that you wanted to ask me specifically, or like,
I guess, what do you think of the Kingston, like, Kingston Pride and queer community? Like, what's your read on that social map?
That's a good question. I was thinking about it, like, I don't participate that much. Like, I don't feel like we have a lot of shared values. I don't like hanging. I actually just don't hang out with prison guards and cops and, you know, so, like, yeah. If that, yeah, that's not a queer community that I participate in, really. So I do feel kind of bad. Or, like, not bad, but I understand that people wouldn't necessarily care what I have to say about the military and the police as much as if I were more a part of that community and had more relationships with people and they respected my values and had a reason to care what I think. I think drawing these kinds of lines in situations or contexts where you do have those kinds of relationships can be really powerful, and sometimes pretty transformative. And I don't think that's... Yeah, I don't think I have the relationship to do that in this particular context, but I still felt it was worth doing for other reasons, I guess. The sort of, I don't know, the, like, queer community in Kingston in general, like, broadly speaking, or maybe, like, the mainstream queer community, or maybe... There are a few mainstream queer communities or something, in this town, are not I don't super feel like I'm a part of that, even if I like maybe like know people who are, or like have like certain relationships with people based on other things, or like I still like live here and that's a thing, I guess. But yeah, Pride, to their credit, it seems like they are taking these like concerns and critiques seriously, but has like, I think, had a lot of like Canadian nationalism and like various forms of like racist aspects to their celebrations, and has always really celebrated like the prisons and military here. And yeah, I think there are conversations around changing those things, it seems. And I think that's good. Mm. But I don't really like Pride for me feels like celebrating the victories of liberalism. Like, mm-hmm. it feels like participating in creating this circus of like Canada as this like liberated country, when in fact it exists because it has like enslaved and dominated others and stolen people's land.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah, I don't like, I wouldn't have gone to Pride otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels good even when there's not that many of you, like when like more than one of you,
yeah,
and, like I don't know, come together and like do a different thing, or relate on the basis of rejecting that thing, or even just trying to point out what people are doing by participating in creating this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I thought it was, I feel like we were very visible and very like, which was pro-con, but I think that it was really good to just say, fuck this shit. Because yeah, I've never really felt comfortable at Pride for many, many reasons. Like, I think a lot of, yeah, like, obviously, like, Pride Toronto this year, like for the first time ever, the police will not be marching because of the incredible work of Black Lives Matter. And like, mm-hmm. I'm going to try and go this year to like, be like, yay. But, I think like it's never really that, and other things, like it's never really felt like a space for me. And I feel like there's a lot of queer and trans people that feel that way because it's exclusive along just very oppressive lines. And yeah, I think it's a party that I don't really like being a part of. So it was good to be like, yeah, fuck this. In a visible way.
Damn right I'm. We could lose a few of them, we got enough of them. My niggas on the corner, they be dodging and dunking them. Bitches getting pulled over, end up fucking them. For real, and see now we got these fake cops. They thought he had a gun, made a mistake, cops. I hate cops, turn on the TV. Is this another cop busted from illegal business? They out of control, they out of their minds. They pulling you over, they hopping inside. Just know you got drugs and know you got guns. And they know when they mad when they can't find none. Stupid, don't you know they giving it the stash box? The he be in and need a key to get in it. Any offended people suck my balls. All y'all off the wall get stupid, dawg. Don't hold back, don't let go. Don't say damn, just say whoa. The whole Jeep, nigga. Hell with the flows and there with the beats. Hell in the Rover, it's over, homes, the whole these. The reason we hold things is no peace in the streets with the police in the streets. Yo, it's cops to old niggas, though, for O's and keys. It's more than the beef with the 5-0 in the streets with the 5-0. But the game of survival, dude. Now tell me, who protects me from you? I got people who buy texts and weed from you. And all a nigga see in the news is cop corruption. Niggas getting popped for nothing. And niggas getting stopped and the cops pull out Glocks and bust them. Y'all need to get shot for nothing. Cause we don't hold back, we let go. We don't say damn, we just say whoa.
I want to take a minute to talk about the connection between the People's Party of Canada and what happened at the Pride Festival in Hamilton, Ontario that same day. To be clear, I do think that liberalism in Canada is a much more powerful enemy than the Yellow Vests or the People's Party of Canada. Trudeau's liberal state threatens the lives of queer and trans people on this territory in many ways every single day, from guards brutalizing and isolating queer prisoners to doctors gatekeeping gender-affirming technologies and care for trans folks, all in the name of safety. That said, I think it's still worthwhile to sabotage the People's Party's attempts to gain legitimacy and build electoral power, if we can. In Kingston, they were trying hard at the Pride Parade to present a respectable face and pretend they were on board with a liberal, gay-friendly agenda. It was a pretty bad try, since the party has been recruiting heavily from the xenophobic, far-right Yellow Vest movement, and scratching their surface even a little bit reveals some pretty nasty stuff. They openly associate with white nationalists and organized white supremacist, Islamophobic, and anti-immigrant groups. One People's Party candidate in Vancouver recently had the Soldiers of Odin provide security while she spoke on behalf of the party at an anti-trans rights rally. The Sudbury candidate was a Soldiers of Odin member himself. Here in Kingston, the vice president of the Riding Association, David Calabretta, has shown up to Yellow Vest rallies himself, stating that we have to stand up for Western civilization, Western values. He's also friendly with Rick Boswick, a Yellow Vester who was in the Islamophobic Canadian Combat Coalition and Pegida, I believe. Rick was at Hamilton Pride this weekend, gleefully filming his friends bashing queers. So, the People's Party of Canada. That's the kind of people they are and the kind of proto-fascist company they keep. Now, let's hear more about Hamilton Pride. So, I'm here talking to a couple of Hamilton anarchists who were involved in organizing a counter-demo to the street preachers that showed up at Pride. Could you describe what happened at Pride on Saturday?
Sure. So these street preacher-esque kind of jerks have been crashing Dunsville and Hamilton and Toronto Pride for at least, I think, 2 years. And last year in Hamilton, they came with these big 12-foot vinyl signs. They have a megaphone with a loudspeaker on it. Last year, we had much less of a defined plan. But a lot of us did go last year, and we tried to mess with their strategy for the day, helped the band and the Flamingo Brigade drown them out. Generally got into, I'd say, like, a lot of yelling matches and trying to shield a lot of the more vulnerable or just like upset folks from what was happening. But we weren't very successful in a large way. One sign did attempt to get stolen by someone on our side. And that person was like pretty promptly arrested by the police that were there. Let go later, thankfully. But this year, I think a lot of some people in the community had the idea that this just wasn't going to happen again. In other prides, they've actually attempted to get like much, much closer, even like standing right next to the stage where performers were going on. And of course, in a lot of these places, the police are just there to, you know, quote unquote, keep the peace, keep people apart. They've even like tried, I think, it was in Dunnsville last year, tried to get the pride organizers to like negotiate with them. They say if they can like speak for a half an hour uninterrupted or something, then they'll leave. Or like all of this kind of nonsense. This year we decided that wasn't going to happen in Hamilton. Some really smart person came up with the idea to create a very large black banner that was reinforced by some 2x2 poles. Ended up being about 9 feet tall and about 30 feet wide. A crew of us got together and made that banner with the intent of showing up and blocking out their signs from the view of the rest of the festivities. We got together a bunch of people willing to hold that banner, worked out some strategy, decided on some ways we wanted to move with it and use it in the moment. And had like some discussion, you know, like we weren't there to start a fight. However, we were prepared on some level for some level of violence. And we had been informed that they were kind of escalating their level of confrontation and violence against Pride and Pride goers. So on the day that we showed up, they were met at the far end of the Pride celebration by a bunch of just attendees and also the Flamingo Mutiny Brigade band. And a bunch of us masked up with pink shirts and a little pink block. And brought the banner across the field, unfurled it, and blocked them out. And what happened after that was about a half an hour to 40 minutes of pretty immediately an escalated conflict, wherein there were probably about 3 or 4 fistfights that broke out, maybe more than that, punches thrown, and a lot of us like pushing, shoving, and generally battling back and forth. At the end of it, the preachers had lost 3 signs, maybe more. And at least 2 of their body cameras that they like to wear. There was one specific individual that was there kind of like as protection from the 3 percenters, apparently. He also early on told someone there that he was also just there to like, because he hated queer people. He was particularly violent. And yeah, you know, all in all, though there were a lot of scuffles and on our side, ended up pretty like bumped and bruised with a couple of serious injuries. Our banner also like stayed up the entire time, and we stayed like pretty solid as a crew. And even like midway through, we realized that the strategy of like holding the banner while also having to like fend people who were throwing punches and swinging helmets wasn't going to work. It didn't really matter. Because a lot of people that were there, like just pride goers, people from the crowd, people who were not anarchists, people who weren't prepared for this, just started stepping in a big way, like grabbing the banner and being like, thank you, guys. Thank you for doing this. Like, I got this. I got to help with it. I want to help. So we just had like crazy support from everyone there. And that banner never came down and actually never got destroyed either. So it never came down until people folded it up and walked away, which happened about 40 minutes in. The police ended up getting there about 40 to 45 minutes into the conflict and essentially just formed a line like they always do. Tried to demask a bunch of people who were blocked up, at which point a lot of us left, and eventually just escorted the preachers out of the park and back to their cars safe and sound.
What groups or what people showed up to start that conflict with? People at Pride, in addition to the religious bigots, I guess.
So the group that's come out to Pride in previous years and in other cities is called Servanthood. And they're just, they do ongoing actions in downtown Toronto, where they'll just stand on the street with their signs and their Bibles, and they'll try to agitate people into talking to them and then videotape it and put it online. And those people are generally pretty hands-off. They like to keep things fairly nonviolent, and generally, if they're like pushed, they'll not respond. But one of the reasons we organized this differently this year is because we had on good word that there are going to be some people showing up from the Yellow Vest movement and some of the other alt-right or neo-Nazi groups that have cropped up around Hamilton and across Canada, groups like the Three Percenters, the Canadian Nationalist Party, or the Canadian Combat Coalition, the Soldiers or the Sons of Odin, on and on. It's hard to keep track of specifically who each of these individuals are organizing with, but we knew that some of the folks that were going to be there, and those folks are in no way committed to nonviolence, and a couple of them showed up very prepared for violence with body armor and helmets, and were very outspoken about the fact that they were there to queer bash.
What kind of response did you get from people at Pride at the time, or did you feel like people in the crowd were on your side and supported what was happening?
Yeah, so that was one of the big sort of successes this year, was that, the reason that we decided to sort of step things up this year is because we've been hearing so much frustration from everybody who's been involved in each of these Pride confrontations, especially the people who took it upon themselves to kind of drown them out. So the Pride that happened a couple weeks ago in Dunnville was really awful for some people and traumatic for a couple individuals who spent 6 hours trying to drum over top of these preachers while they were being specifically targeted and accosted with questions or like whatever, just details about specific forms of sexual trauma they might have experienced that might have made them gay, or threats about what was going to happen to them in hell because they were sinners and sodomites and, you know. It was a lot of frustration, and I think as soon as people saw us unfurl the banner, the reaction was just spectacular. Like, people applauded right away, and it was really just up the morale and put people into a different mindset where, like, we weren't just there to do the same thing over and over again. This year might be different, and I think the only reason we were able to drive them out of the park, it wasn't just because of the banner or because of the crew of anarchists that showed up. It was because there was at least 50, or I would say more like 70 or 80 people from Pride who were just so on top of it, screaming in these people's faces, pulling us out of situations where we were getting pummeled, helping to reinforce the banner, running around with other signs, and just creating such an overwhelming spectacle for them to endure that for the first time ever, they actually just threw in the towel. And we could hear them before the police even showed up. We could hear them saying to each other, "We have to leave, we have to leave." So it was just like an enormous, spontaneous community response that really drove them out of the park. So I don't think any one tactic or one group of people there can take credit for what happened. It was like every single person there was a part of that.
Totally. Have either of you been involved in or want to talk about some of the community conversations that have happened since Pride around these things? Were either of you involved in or participating in any of the community conversations that have happened since Pride about either what happened or the response to it, or things like what should our relationship be with the police as a queer community? I don't know where all of those conversations are happening. I'm sure somewhat online or among people. I did read in the paper that there was a community conversation that the cops were present at. I don't know if either of you want to say a bit about that.
Yeah, so the Pride Committee in their statement actually said that they were going to be hosting a town hall to talk about Pride and to talk about potential changes to the relationship with the police. As of now, they do not invite the police to Pride. It seems that people want to reconsider that, but they said that they wouldn't be able to hold the town hall until after they had their next Pride Committee meeting, which would be sometime in July. So there hasn't actually been any official town hall or debrief about that organized by the Pride Committee. Like, people who were directly involved in the plan to execute the Black Banner strategy have had our own debrief, and that was really good, and I think left a lot of room for us to talk about feelings, and really, I think, brought us all a little bit together through the conflict instead of making things harder. And there were some larger ones, not organized by Pride, that might be coming up, but the thing you're referencing happened 2 nights ago and was actually unrelated to Pride technically. So the city of Hamilton formed an LGBTQ plus advisory panel. And I'm not actually sure when, at least I would say 2 years ago, and that that panel came forward with a bunch of different recommendations for the city to execute in order to make life easier and make the city of Hamilton more welcoming to queer and trans people. Well, the city hasn't actually followed through on much of these recommendations, so that advisory panel, told them publicly that this year they did not have permission to raise the rainbow flags and trans flag at City Hall. However, the city did anyway. So what happened 2 nights ago was basically the meeting was called by the LGBTQ plus advisory panel at the city council chamber to talk about that transgression. However, given that it was so close to Pride, a lot of people showed up, and some of those people wanted to talk about Pride, and specifically they wanted to talk about the police and their involvement or non-involvement or whatever you want to call it in Pride this year. And there happened to be a uniformed police officer that showed up to that meeting. And so they became a pretty easy direction for people to target a lot of their comments, and it turned into quite an antagonistic time, I've been told, ending with about six people getting up and recounting their specific terrible experiences with the police as queer people. It wasn't only that. There were definitely people there who were on side with the cops, but there's definitely a lot of anger in the queer community right now in Hamilton, and I feel like there has been launched a much larger conversation right now, not only around the queer community's relationship to police and queer self-defense, and a lot of bigger questions that revolve around that, not to mention that the city and a lot of liberals, even some like city councilors, are now using what happened at Pride to direct attention to the yellow vest protests that have been happening at City Hall, saying they should not be allowed to have them there anymore. So there's a bunch of sort of side conversations that have been sparked, and it's going to be pretty interesting, I think, to see where they all go. However, I am pretty stoked to see a lot of queers who maybe before had a much more ambient dislike of police really jumping full speed into it and trying to plan like pretty explicitly anti-police actions in the future, so that's nice to see.
That's cool to hear. What would you like to see happen in terms of like the city or police response to the yellow vest protests or even arrests or other repression for the people who showed up to bash queers at Pride?
Yeah, I don't know.
Don't know. I mean, so this isn't an answer to your question, but I think one of the interesting things that happened and one of the interesting situations that the cops are in right now is that there were no witnesses that came forward. So, like, at least 30 people were assaulted that day in the park, and not one witness has come forward or specifically asked to press charges against a specific person. So there's footage of all this stuff out there, and one of the things that these people do is they bring GoPro cameras attached to their chest, or they have whatever selfie sticks with expensive cameras attached. And so there's just like multiple angles of every single assault that happened in the park, including that one guy whose name is Christopher Vanderveide. This one fellow who came wearing body armor and a skateboarding helmet, who took off his helmet and swung it a few times and managed to cause some pretty serious injuries just by swinging his helmet around. That stuff's all, there's videos of it circulating. His picture ended up in the paper the next day. And yet the cops keep saying they're investigating and they're going to press charges, but they haven't done that yet. And I think there's sort of like different streams going on here. One of which is that the cops weren't invited to Pride. And so their angle is, well, we weren't invited, so we can't expect to be on the ground and have a quick response. They're claiming that they got there pretty quick, but as we've already said, it was at least 45 minutes from the time that scuffles broke out to the time that they got there, which is fine because I think the important thing is that we did something, that the people who were at Pride didn't need the cops to drive those people out. We did it ourselves. And so, like, ultimately, I guess I don't really care what the cops do. I'm glad that they look bad. I'm glad that a lot of people who were there that day got to feel what it's like to experience sort of a collective empowerment and to deal with a situation without just sitting around hoping that the cops are going to help. And ultimately, I hope that this does bring a lot of attention to the yellow vest demos that have been happening weekly in front of City Hall in Hamilton and help that not feel like such a normal part of life in this city. I think any steps that the city takes to like criminalize those protests are almost inevitably going to be used against anarchists and other people who protest in the city. So I'm not interested in any of that. but I do want people to have to take a side, and I do want people to have to look at the Yellow Vest movement and say that this is a completely unacceptable form of political expression that does not belong in the city. So this Christopher van der Weide has become kind of like an alt-right celebrity because of the videos of him bashing queers in the face with his helmet have gone viral. And there's like a 15-second slowed-down video with some epic music of him with a cigarette in his mouth, smashing two people in the nose with his helmet. And it has like 100,000 hits, and it's spreading like wildfire.
That's brutal. How do you think this action and everything that happened will affect, I guess, the relationship between anarchists or an anarchist community in Hamilton and, I guess, the queer community in Hamilton? Or do you feel like there's more potential for working together or building like broader forms of collective self-defense? I remember like not that long ago, lots of people were pretty upset with anarchists about Lock Street. And to me, these two things don't seem in conflict with each other politically at all. But yeah, I can understand why people would, why it would be easier to feel inspired or supportive of this kind of action that was like about a bunch of different people coming together to defend themselves and their space.
I think that there have been small and casual conversations for a while now about this being the kind of year that anarchists can rebuild bridges with the people we want to in this city. And I think it would be dishonest if I said that I particularly didn't think that doing this action at Pride was a little bit with that intention. And it's been like really nice to see people being really supportive. Something I said after was that, you know, a lot of the times we throw demos and we pull big contingents to demos and we think, oh, if we try to escalate things a little or amp up in the militancy a little, maybe other people will feel inspired and they'll join in, and just like it almost never happens. But this time it felt like it did. And it felt afterwards that people have even been more supportive. And frankly, I'm excited to see what kind of relationship this ends up being. But I mean, it's important to kind of state that, like, I don't really think that there is like a homogenous queer community, you know? But I think this sort of thing brings to the surface where those lines are within the community a bit. And it makes it more obvious to us who our friends are and how many friends we have. And really, I think that on the whole, this really warmed people's hearts and it really inspired people, and even led one city councilor to state afterwards that, you know, today violence was the answer. That was a thing that stopped them from staying in the park. They were there for like 4 hours last year. They were there under an hour this year. So I think it'll be interesting to see in the coming year how what happened really affects relationships with queer people and how many of those people want to come forward and really choose to be in closer relationships with anarchists in the city. And there's definitely been like online, if you peruse Facebook and things like that and like Twitter, there are many people who have brought up Lock Street in the online discussion of this. One person made a comment yesterday on one of the articles or posts having to do with the police and just said like, wow, like they really went after anarchists after Lock Street, but they really haven't gone after any of those homophobic white supremacist jerks after brutalizing people at Pride. Shows like cops and people in the city really care a lot more about property than they do about queer people. And that was a really interesting thing to see play out.
Do you think that these like organized grassroots white supremacist kind of folks will continue this kind of escalation? And what are some ways that you would like to see people coming together to address that or oppose that? I'm trying to think of a way to ask about, like, I guess the links between like anarchists and like anti-fascist opposition to these groups and some of their actions. And also, yeah, if you think that more people will feel motivated to participate in those struggles or like personally confront those individuals or groups more in Hamilton?
I think the thing that's important for me is that people start thinking strategically about these kinds of things. Like, it's not just about some endless escalation where next year we can bring bats and then the year after that we'll bring knives. Like, we don't want this to just like pursue some kind of gruntish logic of perpetual violence or something. But I do think that an experience like this hopefully will encourage people to actually like step back when we're faced with situations like this and say, what is the best thing that we can do to deal with this situation? Rather than just endlessly stuck in this stalemate or endlessly stuck in a logic of waiting for the cops to do something. So this year, I think the strategy that we pursued actually worked really well. Even if some of us got our asses handed to us, the strategy on the whole worked really well. Next year, we can have a totally different strategy. I just want those conversations to be happening, and I think it's like those moments of empowerment and that taste of empowerment that people get that might actually inspire them to be asking those questions and having those conversations, regardless of what they come up with, whether it's something like this year, where we try to actually physically confront them, or something totally different, where we try to undermine their coalitions, or try to stop them from getting into the park, or begin with whatever, just like try to demoralize and attack them in other ways, whatever it is. I just hope that people walked away from this year feeling a bit more inspired in that direction.
Homophobic preachers or neo-Nazis are really clear personified enemies. And yeah, as a queer person, I also feel the ways that just the state and business as usual also really are my enemies or affect my life in really negative ways. Do you think that the, I guess, police response or conversations around the police response will inspire people to reflect on those things, or yeah, if those conversations are going in that direction?
I think that anarchists are steering them in that direction, and that for a large number of people it's not that difficult of a route, and that they'll reach those conclusions on their own. I think there's a large section of the queer community that just never will.
I think one of the important things about Pride specifically as an event is the number of young people it brings out, and at least a third of the people who confronted the haters that day were like under the age of 20, you know? And there was like this one particularly rowdy group of teenagers that were just like up in these guys' faces the whole time, screaming at them. And yeah, I can't like reflect on the queer community as a whole or something, but I think there is a way in which actions like this and people experiencing moments like that, especially for young folks, I think people like that are a lot more likely to pay attention to the things that anarchists do in the future because they had this one experience of fighting side by side with these sort of mysteriously pink masked people in what was hopefully a very empowering and inspiring moment.
This episode is being released right before the Toronto Pride Parade, where many of the same hate groups that have been harassing and attacking queer folks at Pride festivities and elsewhere in Toronto will likely show up and attempt to disrupt the event. Hopefully, people can build on the organizing that Black Lives Matter folks have been doing for several years in Toronto to keep uniformed police from marching in Pride, and keep homophobic preachers and white supremacists intent on queer bashing out of Toronto Pride as well. The 519, a city-run nonprofit and LGBTQ+ advocacy organization, is handing out safety kits with banners and noisemakers and encouraging folks to peacefully disrupt homophobic rhetoric while avoiding physical confrontation. I'd like to express support and solidarity with everyone at Pride who attempts to defend themselves and others from haters and physical or other forms of violence in whatever way they feel empowered to do so, and encourage people to care for each other in those moments and afterwards during whatever police repression might come their way. Police have been harassing queer anarchists in Hamilton over the past few days. One anarchist was arrested Saturday morning, and more arrests are expected. I'll end with an excerpt of a statement they released online. It doesn't matter how many rainbow stickers they put on their cruisers, how much inclusive language they use in their pamphlets, or how many gender-neutral washrooms they open at their stations. We see the police for what they are. Police are shamelessly trying to bully their way into Hamilton's LGBTQ community. They are using violence against Pride as a wedge to regain access to the festival next year, all the while trying to dissuade and delegitimize people who see possibilities for safety that don't include them. We can't let this happen, and we can't allow the police to demonize and punish those of us who refuse to passively sit back while queer bashers crash our events, chase us on the streets, and otherwise stalk our lives. We call for acts of solidarity with all those targeted for standing up against hate at Pride. Spread the word. Harass City Council and the mayor, tie up the phones of the Hamilton police, talk to your neighbors and coworkers, and anything else you can think of. For those of you in Hamilton, a solidarity rally is being held outside the cop shop tonight on Saturday, June 22nd at 7 p.m. And for those of you not in Hamilton, I'd also encourage you to take action with others in your own communities. You've been listening to From Embers, a weekly anarchist and anti-authoritarian radio show and podcast. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you have anything you want to share with us, get in touch. Email fromembers@riseup.net. See you next week.